Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another Osho Graces episode of the Ultra Nerd Podcast. Now, before I continue, I just want to say a couple of things and a couple of announcements. Yes, the War Machine and Hordes episode still has to be set on because college. Furthermore, if you guys are anywhere in the world, or in your house, in your car, in your library, or in your dorm, you can listen to this podcast anywhere on Apple Podcasts, Overcast, the Anchor app, or Spotify, any other sources that you could be able to listen to podcasts with. Furthermore, what we could be able to do is, we could slowly build revenue from you, from your support, and helping me out from that said support, if you guys listen to... Sorry, I prefer I've done this every time. From what I was trying to say is, from your support, by listening to each of the episodes, we could slowly build revenue here and there. You could help me make sure that toilet over there is flushed. You can help me pay for them college textbooks. You can help me keep the lights on. You can help me put food on the table, and so on and so forth. Secondly, you could also listen, follow me on social media accounts such as Instagram or at Twitter at SuperNerd163. And secondly, I am planning on saying this, that this is going to be another Yu-Gi-Oh! Archetype. I know, I did it last week. I recently got ideas, and I want to talk about them. So, this is going to be the second one, and I'm going to take a break from it, and I'm going to talk about something else. Okay? Okay. Let's get into it. And I'm also going to be slow about this. I'm going to take my time. Going to think before I spill out and talk gibberish. But I just want to go over a couple things really quick. For the Helix archetype, I feel like I haven't really talked much about the other monsters. Like, for the Condor one, it does have a pretty disgusting effect. So, like, if it had, like, say, triple its original attack points, like, say, or 4,000, and its second link monster that's used to burn it, it doesn't have a once per turn effect, so it should probably have that. Maybe. And it should also have, like, other monsters that could support the burn effect, or almost do another type of U-Belt-like effect to it. So, just get that off my chest, but let's get on to the actual archetypes. So, let me talk about one thing that is common throughout the entirety of the Yu-Gi-Oh! Franchise. Villain boss monsters. Now, villain boss monsters are pretty much like a common trend sometimes. Like, there's first this one type of enemy that's like far great, but then you realize that there's a far greater, greater enemy that's even worse than the last enemy that you just fought, that you need to make sure to fight them. And then they somehow summon this monster with the most, I could say, bullshittery effect ever. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. They make it seem so powerful, sometimes it also doesn't. However, sometimes I could argue that they can be compensating for something. Sometimes that villain could have like a really cool monster with a really good effect. Other times it could be really compensating for something. And I could actually argue that this falls into the genre of Yu-Gi-Oh! 5Ds more. Because, like, to be fair, yes, because when you look at card games like Yu-Gi-Oh! GX series, there was like the three sacred beasts. But with the support now, they're kind of better than they previously were. Still cloggy, I could argue, but they were still better. And not only that, for other monsters like, say, the Baryon monsters from Yu-Gi-Oh! Zexal, also slightly better. I mean, Yu-Gi-Oh! Zexal does have a lot of good Xyz monsters, and a deck that is currently breaking the meta in Yu-Gi-Oh! Duel Links, but that's for another story for another time. But I could argue 5Ds kind of has it worse with, like, big monsters, evil villains, and compensate it for a lack of actual good cards. This being the Earthbound Immortals, the Nordic archetype, and the Mechlord archetype. However, I feel like talking about the Earthbound Immortal archetype because I feel as if comparing this archetype to the Nordic and Mechlords, they kind of did get the bad end of the stick. Now, For contrast, let me talk about a little bit something about the Earthbound Immortal cards. From what we could understand, and from what I can understand about them, is that they were actually geoglyphs from Peru. Some of them talking about monkeys, others spiders, giants, or condors. And you could like see them over the cast of Peru. Like, these things are both magnificent and like crazy when you take a good gander at them. And that's what they were supposed to be about. Like, one's a spider, one's a hummingbird, another one is like a orca, there's like the giant condor, and there's also the monkey, and I forgot, reptile. And when you first saw, like, I like to call him this one, but it's not his real name, but for those Yu-Gi-Oh players out there that do know his name, you could agree with me. Earthbound Immortal Akakaka Poo Poo, because it's a fun way of saying it, because I'm pronouncing that his original name, Earthbound Immortal Akala. I cannot even pronounce it just to butcher it, but when you first take notice of them, they are big beat stick monsters. They cannot be attacked directly, but you could use them to attack directly, so that's always nice and awesome. Furthermore, they also have their own unique distinguished effects, which is also good. However, when it comes to them specifically, and the fact is, they are kind of trash because they're level 10 monsters, they require two tributes, and here's the even bullshit effect. You need to have a field spell in play, right? So, it's kind of like contradictory or contradicts the idea that you summon this big badass monster that cannot be targeted for attacks, could attack directly, and could have its own unique effect. However, it's kind of stupid, I could argue, that it needs to have a field spell just to stay up. And not only that, you can only control one at a time, which, honestly, I kind of see why. But it really doesn't help the archetype that much. Because they're cloggy, and they don't really have that many cards to search them. They don't really have that many cards to support them, to stay on the field. But, like, if you enter the Legendary series back in last October in 2019, where they released the set with Mokuba's new support cards for Destiny Board, and the new Evil Hero support, the new set helped, but it didn't solve the issue for Earthbound Immortals. Now, weirdly enough, they were more like supporting the Synchro archetype, or the Synchro cards in general, with some of the cards that they had. And they kind of helped it, but they really didn't. Like, first off, there's Dawnwalker Ancestor Ascatar and Duskwalker Ancestor Supe. They have an effect where they both have the same effect, but summon totally different monsters. They both have an effect where you could discard one card, you could special both of them in the face-up defense position, and you could special summon their respective tuner monsters directly from your deck. Dawnwalker summons oh my god, that name is tongue twister all galore. Ant Ancestor Ascator, whereas Dawnwalker summons Supe. Furthermore, they also summon their respective synchro monsters, which is Moon Dragon Quia and Ascator? No, not Ascator. That's the tuner monster. It's Sun Dragon Inti, I'm sorry. But as nice as that is, because let me repeat myself, you could use these guys to summon any synchro monster, not just one of the two. It really doesn't help the archetype. However, with their new field spell, Earthbound Geoglyph, If you synchro summon, you could be able to search for any of their trap or spell cards, which is nice. And that synchro monster could also be treated as two tributes for a Earthbound Immortal monster, which is also nice. Although, the field spell is protected by the monster, but there is no protection for the monster. So, it kind of does help knowing the fact that you could protect your field spell with the monster, but not the other way around. Why? And with their last new support card, which is Earthbound Greater Line Walker, he is a level 8, or level 9, I believe, fiend-type monster, is able to search out for any Earthbound Immortal monster. But the main issue is, he has a really interesting special summoning effect that you have to have a synchro monster on your field and in your graveyard. Why? I don't know. Now, don't get me wrong, there's probably a lot of different ways to use different spells, different traps, probably potentially different monsters, who send a monster from your extra deck to your graveyard, so it's probably not that hard. But it's kind of stupid, and I would even say counterintuitive too, because if he is supposed to be like your main searcher, why is he more also cloggy as hell? Because to be fair, you're probably trying to save tributes or normal summons for your Earthbound Immortals. And it's really not fair that your only search engine card could potentially just be more of a brick to you than the Earthbound Immortal monsters in general. Now, when we heard, or when I heard that we were going to get Earthbound Immortal support, I was thinking of those Earthbound Immortal monsters from Yu-Gi-Oh! Arc 5, because they were honestly unique, they were interesting, they were different than most decks, and they also had their own fusion monsters and their own synchro monsters too. So why don't we actually try to use them in a different way of summoning or using Earthbound Immortals? So if you Google Earthbound Immortal monsters, there is actually a lot of different fan art done for Earthbound Immortals and making and custom cards for the Earthbound Immortal archetype. And those existings are known as Earthbound Prisoners and Earthbound Servants. Now, there are three different Earthbound Prisoner monsters. There is Earthbound Prisoner Stone Sweeper, Earthbound Prisoner Line Walker, and Earthbound Prisoner Groundbreaker. Now, their effects are not really explained that much in the anime, but from what I could gather for Earthbound Stone Sweeper, he's pretty much like the Cyber Dragon of the archetype. Linewalker and Groundkeeper is pretty much like your only tuner monsters. So why don't we give them the different effects of being able to do certain things? Like, for example, Stone Sweeper could have the Cyber Dragon effect. Furthermore, it could be able to special summon a Earthbound Prisoner Tuner monster from your deck. And if it's been sent to the graveyard for either a Synchro or a Fusion summon, it could be able to search your deck for any Earthbound monster. Now, notice that I said Earthbound monster, because Earthbound Prisoner, Earthbound Greater Line Walker, or Earthbound Immortal could be able to be searched throughout that entire effect and be able to make it more consistent. Whereas, like, for example, another idea could be, like, if a Greater Earthbound Prisoner Line Walker has been used for a synchro summon or a fusion summon, you could special summon one Earthbound Servant monster from your extra deck that's level equals the synchro monster or fusion monster that you summoned with this card. And we could probably also give it, like, a banishing effect where you could banish this card from your graveyard, and if you do, search your deck for one Earthbound spell or trap card. You could search your deck for one It could be able to search your deck for any spell or trap card that has Earthbound in its name. So that's really good. We already thought of two different monsters that are able to search for your monsters and your spells and traps. Whereas, like, for example, Groundkeeper could have a protection effect or, like, an equipment effect. So, if it's been used for, like, a fusion or synchro summon, and or if you happen to have a Earthbound Immortal monster on your field while this card is in your graveyard, once per turn, you could equip this card to that monster. It cannot be targeted by card effects as long as this card is equipped to it. So, that also solves the issue for the monsters being targeted by spells or traps effects or even monster effects, because like I mentioned with their new field spell, they do have that protection of being targeted. However, that doesn't automatically mean that they're not going to get popped themselves if your opponent doesn't want to target their field spell. And now they have, in the anime, they have 5 different Earthbound Servant monsters. Them being Earthbound Servant Geos, just to represent the name of the geoglyphs that were seen in Peru. The first one being Earthbound Servant Griffin, Earthbound Servant Geokraken, Earthbound Servant Geogremlin, Earthbound Servant Geogremlina, and last but not least, Earthbound Servant Geogracia. They all have their own unique effects, some of them being able to require a Earthbound Prisoner monster to be synchro summoned, whereas Earthbound Servant Geogracia requires a Earthbound fusion and synchro monster to be properly fusion summoned. Now, honestly, I could argue that they should have their own unique effect to being more an offensive and defensive deck overall, and like maybe a counterintuitive for other archetypes. Like, say, Geo Griffin could be more or less like a extra deck targeting monster, whereas Earthbound Geo Kraken could more or less be like a monster that could target any special summon monster from on the field and negate their summon once per turn. Whereas Geo Gremlin and Geo Gremlina could more or less be like a control theme where your opponent has to choose either summoning a monster or destroying it, and if they do, Gremlina could be able to like deal them damage times their level. Whereas Geo Grusha, it has an effect of special summon one Earthbound monster from your deck, hand, or graveyard, and if this card battles an opponent's monster, that monster's attack becomes 0. You can only control one face-up servant Geo Grusha. That's pretty cool and interesting if you ask me. But how I felt about it is, maybe the servants, seeing how they're the servants and all, they should have their own respective ability that they could be able to special summon any Earthbound Immortal monster from your deck for free, and they cannot be destroyed by their own effect. So that's also really good too, because what it's able to do is that you're getting your best monster out there, like say Earthbound Immortal Kakapakapu for free. It could be protected, and not only that, you could be able to still have a giant fist coming at your opponent at a million miles an hour. Furthermore, what they could also potentially do is like revive one from the graveyard, special summon from the deck from the hand, or give them protection overall. Now, whereas the spells and trap cards go, it kind of really depends too, because okay, so look, if I would say we could probably do for the archetype is maybe potentially like reprint some of the cards used in the anime, but make them so that it's not disgusting. Like, for example, there's a card that in the anime of Arc 5 I can't remember the name, but I do know what it's able to do. What it's able to do is you could be able, I think it's called, now I think about it, I think it's somewhat called Synchrone or Synchro Fusion or something on the lines of that. Now, as cool as that card is, it has an effect where you could be able to special summon and fusion summon a monster by using the two Earthbound Prisoner monsters you control as material, and then special summon one fusion and one synchro monster from your deck's for free. Now, to be honest, I don't think I heard him say, oh, I can only special summon Earthbound Servant monsters from my extra deck for the rest of this turn. Now, if that card has been released and everyone is able to use it for any deck, it might as well be the cancellation of Yu-Gi-Oh! Permanently. Because a card like that should be nerfed, and it should probably just like say you can only special summon Earthbound Immortal monsters. The same could be said for, like, say, Earthbound Fusion. Like, you could use this card to special summon any Earthbound Fusion monster from your deck by either, like, say, banishing monsters from your graveyard or field to special summon it. Now, it's not targeting the hand and only the field and graveyard, but you'll probably have more material to use in that graveyard and field to be able to special summon it. Now, let's take a break from Earthbound Immortals, and I really want to talk about another archetype, which is Battling Boxers. Now, to be honest, Battling Boxers have it a lot for them, because, to be fair, they're warrior types, but they're also the fire attribute. And I said to my friend a while ago, verbatim, that I'm surprised no one jumped to Battling Boxers, because, let me be honest, Battling Boxers has a lot going for it, like I just said. They're warrior monsters, so basically you can use, like, that Link to Noble Knight card to send equip spells from your deck to the graveyard to special summon a Battling Boxer or search for one you need. They have their own Armageddon Knight, so they could pitch another Battling Boxer. They have a Recoverer. They have three cards that could be able to special summon themselves from the hand, and they have a Monster Reborn on legs, too. Lastly, their boss monsters are also really decent at best. One of them, Knuckle Nova, is able to attach any Earthbound. Oh my god. What's the word I'm looking for? Battling Boxer from your hand, field, or graveyard to its material, and its attack increases times its material, right? However, if it's destroyed, depending how many overlay units it has, you could special summon that many Battling Boxer monsters from your graveyard or your hand. That is really good. And not only that, it is also sorry, I'm just gonna take a little sip of my water here for a sec. But it's really good. Hell, it's really good if it was also used for number 86, Heroic Champion Ragnamond. Butcher that name like hell. Or Mr., as I like to call him, Mr. I'm gonna destroy your entire field and force you to do nothing card. Because it requires 5 warrior monsters. Level 4 warrior monsters. And what is mostly almost a good proportion of the Battling Boxer archetypes are level 4s. And to be fair, I honestly don't like 3 out of several other Battling Boxer monsters that they have, because I feel as if they don't, like, contribute that well to the archetype. Like, counter is okay. I mean, increasing your monster's attack points by 1,000, that's fine. Battling Boxer Burn Knuckle, he's, like, the main burn, no pun intended, card of the deck. Nova Grappler, I can't understand that much, but all I do know is they do have a lot of good cards. However, I could argue that they're kind of slow for an archetype. Much like a Cyber Darks, you could say, they do have their own slow cards, like both Battling Boxer Switch Hitter and Battling Boxer Headgear are a normal summon and not a special summon, whereas they do have a lot of different other cards that could be able to special summon from the hand, like I just said, from Nova Grappler, Nova Kaiser, to be able to special summon more monsters times its overlay units. However, a lot of those times you're going to be focusing on trying to recover more cards you just got rid of, either special summoning from the grave, pitching one from the grave, and they do have their own, like, really good counter trap card and Monster Reborn card. However, I feel as if they really should deserve a new boss monster, a few new different types of support cards, make them a little bit faster, maybe their own kind of rogue deck, a budget rogue deck, so a lot of people could, like, at least use it to stand up against the media. The media, what the hell? The meta. Oh my god. I'm sorry, I just finished the college assignment. My brain still might be frying right now. But, like, I really like the archetype. It's a fun archetype, I'm not gonna lie. Furthermore, there's still, like, a lot of different cards to use and to choose from. Like, one idea that could help the archetype is the Phantom Knights of Shade Brigade. I love this trap. Have no Phantom Knights trap cards in your graveyard? Special summon this bad boy for free by activating it on the turn you set it. That is awesome. Furthermore, that does have, like, the recovered card, like, say, Battling Box or Glass Jaw. If it's sent to the graveyard, target one Battling Box or monster in your graveyard, return it to hand. But even though that, still a lot of cards that could potentially wipe the floor with them. Like, I know Prank Kids is certainly one of them. I've seen its monsters. The second thing is, like, Zombie World. I mean, banish your own monsters from your graveyard with, like, the Book of Moon or the Book of... Not the Book of Moon. That's a different spell card. The Book of Life or, like, Mr. Level 7, I'm gonna banish your monsters and also negate your monsters card, you know what I mean? And Zombie World, because Zombie World. And I really feel as if it can be able to have, like, further potential later down in their own line as well. Now, let's take a break from here, and let me get myself in order really quick, because my brain is going loco on me, okay? Okay. And we're back. Hello, folks, and we are back. Now, let's get into another archetype that just recently released, literally yesterday. But I'm, to be fair and to be kind, I'm not gonna, like, trash the archetype as what it is or call it a bad archetype in general because, well, it's just released yesterday in its recent pack of Blazing Vortex. And to... It's not going to be War Rocks, because I think the rest of the internet has done that for me, and I'm going to be nice and not talk about them for now. However, I do want to cover a really small archetype known as Metagradic Gadara. I really have butchered that name so far than Akakakapupu. My god. I do not speak English. However, this archetype is actually really interesting because it's a Xyz-focused archetype and it has a quite interesting effect. So it's a level 3 Dark Dragon attribute monster and it has the following effect. Are you ready, folks? Okay, here. You could discard one card, special summon one level 3 normal monster from your deck or hand. If you discard a normal monster to activate this effect, you could special summon one Matatriadicter monster instead. You can only use this effect of Matatriadicter Gadara once per turn. You cannot special summon monsters from the extra deck except Xyz monsters. Now, in all honesty, when I first read this effect for myself, I honestly threw my mind instantly at Heretics. Not because of its name, but it's because of what it's able to do. It is able to pitch a normal monster or discard a monster to special summon a level 3 normal monster from your hand or deck. Furthermore, it could be able to special summon another one of itself from your deck instead. However, the only one that we do have is the one main deck monster. And honestly, I'm kind of disappointed, but I don't understand out of everything, it only has two monsters. But I could have guessed that maybe if they would have not hold out on War Rocks or like hold War Rocks for like another pack and maybe expand on this card more, maybe there might have been something else. And if we go into its Xyz monster known as Matatriadicter Gadara Ouroboros. Has an effect of gains 500 attack and defense for each card in your hand. You can only use one of the effects of this card once per turn. You can detach one monster monster material from this card. Attach one Materiator monster from your deck to this card's material. During your opponent's main or battle phase, you could add one attached card to this card. You could add one card attached to this card to hand. For the second effect, I'm not really that fond of, but the first effect, you could see that I was trying to like be able to summon or have more of its necessary key materials from the user's deck to add to itself. And potentially in the future, we might be seeing more cards that have this effect. Well, not the second effect, but like the effect of having like an additional effect if it's attached to this card as material. And now, furthermore, it has unlimited amount of time, so potentially up to 5 times of level 3 monsters, because on its card it says 2 plus level 3 monsters. So potentially you could be able to add any amount of level 3 monsters from your deck, hand, or graveyard to this card. And really, I honestly feel as if there's a lot of potential with this card and this small archetype overall. I mean, to be fair, there is an archetype known as the Nemesis archetype, and I feel as if that is a really interesting archetype overall. It has a fire monster, a wind monster, water, earth, and 2 really interesting boss monsters as well. So, I do feel as if this card does have a lot of potential behind it. And like I said to begin with, maybe if they didn't like put War Rocks in this pack already and maybe expanded more on it, then maybe we could try to see like a more corrupted version of heretic monsters than just this, maybe. So let's think of some ideas of how we could expand this archetype a little bit more. So like I said to begin with, maybe we could give it the ability to gain additional effects depending on what overlay units it has, because it has an effect where you get to attach one card from this card and attach one Materiator monster from your deck to this card as material. Now obviously there's probably and hopefully going to be cards like that in the future, because you're not going to have a boss monster to have that effect and not use it properly. Secondly, there's probably going to be like its own normal monster, like I say, a more deactivated version of this archetype. So potentially it is going to be somewhere similar to Heratics, where they revolve around a normal dragon type monster. But instead of being just focusing on normal dragons, it could potentially expand more to normal monsters overall. So I could just basically use any basic generic level 3 normal monster, or just for consistency, if I'm using a monster that's a part of a dragon deck, I'll potentially just use a dragon deck with that, or dragon monster I mean, with that deck. So yeah, potentially we can make this into a far better archetype than War Rocks are. So let's get into another archetype, which is a anime archetype. So this archetype came from Yu-Gi-Oh! Zexal, and after watching the bits and pieces of the anime, it's obviously the cards are heavily focused on Xyz summoning, right? So recently, a while ago, not too long, a interesting monster by the name of Number 3 Zicada King has recently came out in Battles of Legend Armageddon a while ago, right? It requires 2 level 3 monsters, and it has an effect of, if the battle position of this card changes, you can special summon one insect from your hand or graveyard in defense position. When a monster on your field activates its effect, you get to detach one material from this card, negate the effect, then make one insect on your field gain 500 defense, or change the battle position of it. Now, in all honesty, this card had a very different it had not that bad of a similar effect, but it didn't have the special summoning effect I remember from the anime. Now, the reason why I bring this up is because here's an idea. what if we make the villain cards who had these monsters before into its small archetype known as the Apostles of the Baryons, right? So, besides Zicada King, there are plenty other of monsters following this idea. And basically, from what I know, that these types of cards that they use in the anime, from like numbers 1 to 3, or numbers 1 to 4, I mean, were fake monster cards. And that's actually really interesting, because another one was like, number 1, Infectious Buzz King. The second one was like a little mosquito, I know that. And the last one was number 4, Stealth Kraken. And the mosquito, like I just brought up, was basically number 2. So, here's an idea. Why don't we make them into their own unique archetype? They could have like different effects that could have different properties, and we could use all four of those boss monsters to represent the entire deck, and it's going to be mainly heavily Xyz focus too. So, but here's the thing. There's four of them, and they all had their own unique four decks, right? Like, for example, one of them was basically an insect deck, so it used, like, different Zicada monsters, like Oil Zicada, Dream Zicada. And I know for a fact that another one was, like, a water monster, so basically, like, aqua jellyfish monsters to summon Stealth Kraken. And another one was another insect-type monster for the mosquito monster, and the last one was fiends, known as infectious fly. So here's an idea. Why don't we make them into, like, say, a Switch Army knife, depending on the monsters and their effects? So each of them can have their own unique effect, and each of them can have their own unique property, depending on how many you run, or how many you decide to use in the deck. Like, say, for example, infectious fly could be able to special summon or Baryon. Apostles of the Baryons, Infecting Fly could be able to special summon multiple different monsters, and you can make any monster use special summons levels between 1 to 8. So you could be able to special summon the level rank 8 Infectious Buzz King, right? That's one idea. The second idea could be like the water monsters could be more or less like a extra deck spam deck monster, because Stealth Kraken had an interesting effect where if it was destroyed by card effect, you could be able to special summon any number of Xyz monsters from your deck for free, but you don't have the materials attached to it, so that's the only downside, depending how many overlay units it had. So in the anime, it had 2 overlay units, and when it was destroyed, it was able to special summon 2 Xyz monsters from the deck. So that's really cool. I mean, extra deck. Then, for this mosquito, all I do know is that it is potentially a negating deck. So it's pretty much like a stun control deck. So so it's that type of card that you're like, no, I'm not going to let you do that for your opponent. Now, for Zicada, though, I already pretty much stated what his effect was, so that doesn't need to change, but I haven't really thought about what the spells and traps should be. I only really thought about the monsters, and potentially this can pretty much like be a Switch Army knife of a deck. Like, you could use, like, say, this many of this card to focus on this. You could pretty much use this card to focus on spamming. You could use this card to focus on stun, and you can focus on this card to get your boss monsters out quickly. And that's potentially a really interesting idea. But for the spells, just to give us some aspects and some ideas of what they could be able to do, like, for example, one of them could be like the searcher for any one of them, and another one could be potentially a, like, the counter trap, or the protection card, or the card that could be able to help you destroy more monsters, or spells and traps, or lock your opponent out from special summoning from the extra deck, except for Xyz monsters. So that's some ideas of what I came up with. But if we take a break from them for now, besides that, I did have another archetype idea that is also from Yu-Gi-Oh! Zexal, known as Umbral Horrors. Now, what Umbral Horrors has is pretty much what a Battle Boxer doesn't have. They can be able to spam very easily. However, they're not that very good, sadly. That they're level 4 to level 2 to level 1 fiend dark type monsters with always zero defense. So there's like Umbral Horror Ghoul that could be able to special summon from the hand if you by reducing its attack to 0. There's Umbral Horror Unform. If you attack into a monster and if it's destroyed, you can special summon 2 Umbral Horror monsters from your deck. And yeah, you did not hear me incorrectly, or I did not say anything incorrectly. I did say when you attack into a monster, not the other way around, sadly. And that's nearly the exact same thing for their level 1, Umbral Horror Will-O-The-Wisp. It is able to attack into a monster, and when it's done attacking and it's destroyed, you could automatically destroy that monster it was attacking into. So it's kind of counterintuitive of being like, oh, I'm just going to set this and I'm going to wait for you to, for it to get blown up by your monster, and it's going to make your monster go blow up. And there is probably, I could argue, their worst monster, Umbral Horror Spirit. And it has an effect where during your standby phase, you could basically special summon this card and another fiend monster from your hand for free. However, you cannot special summon, and you can't even normal summon or set. And you, if it asks me, it kind of defeats the purpose, because to be fair, you only have that one normal summon. And you gotta use it on something, otherwise you might as well not have a board. They also have another boss monster known as Umbral Horror Masquerade in 140. So this is the evolved version of number 104 Masquerade. And it has an effect of, you can target one spell or trap card on the field, destroy that. If this card has number 104 Masquerade as Xyz material, it gains the effect. Once per turn during either player turn, when a monster effect is activated on your opponent's side of the field, you can attach one material from this card, negate the activation, and if you do, send one random card from your opponent's hand to the grave, and if you do, half your opponent's life points. Not that good. Not that bad effect either. I mean, you're able to send one monster or one random card, and it's asking a lot because Masquerade requires 3 materials. And to be honest, where there's a lot of different cards that are able to special summon extra monsters from the hands that are level 4s, like Kage Go Kage or Gothenburg, just to name a few, from the hand. And if you're able to special summon more, it's really that not that bad of a card. And whereas Masquerade, during the battle phase, when an opponent's monster is activated, detach one card from this card, negate the effect, and if you do, inflict 800 damage to your opponent. Once per turn, you can send the top card of your deck, of your opponent's deck, to the graveyard. But even though I'm just like looking at this on both sides, because even though if you like say send one card from your opponent's hand to the graveyard, they're still like, oh, thank you. Now, if you please excuse me, you're gonna sit there and watch me activate 20 more effects since you did that. So, how could we help this archetype out? And it's, I'm not gonna lie, it's complicated because Umbral Horrors are not that good, but they do have a lot going for them. I mean, to be fair, they do have 3 different cards that are able to spam them, like Umbral Horror Ghoul, special summons from the hand, Umbral Horror Unforged, special summons from the deck, but their effects of doing that, not that good. Now, don't get me wrong, there's also other cards that could be able to special summon them from the graveyard, like, say, Mask Chameleon. It's able to target a monster with zero defense from the graveyard and special summon it. There's also Mystic Tomato. When it's destroyed, special summon a dark monster from your hand or deck, I mean. And, yeah, there's those cards, but to be fair, I feel as if this does deserve its own, like, small-ish sub-archetype, like, say, what Gagaga, Dododo, and Go-Go-Go's have right now with Onomatopoeia and its recent other line of support with Yuya. Like, there's, like, Zubaba Go-Go-Goyad, I think? No, that's not it. But I know what I'm talking about. Like, there's other better support cards for that archetype, so there could potentially be a better version of Umber Horrors. So, let's think of some ideas. So, one thing I obviously want to replace are three specific cards with their effects, and that is both Umber Horror on Form, Umber Horror Will the Wisp, and Umber Horror Ghost. They obviously have the good effects, but not that good when you think about it. So, Unform does have a really nice spam effect, able to special summoning two Umber Horror monsters instead of one from the deck for free. However, you, as the player, need to smash it into a big-ass boss monster and take the damage to special summon those said monsters out. Kind of counterintuitive when you use it, so yeah. So what we could potentially do is have a better version of it, but instead, it could have an effect of where when this card is normal special summoned, you could send it to the grave, or you could tribute it, and if you do, special summon two Umber Horror monsters from your deck. And it could also have its own graveyard effect, like say, once per turn, you could banish this copy of Umber Horror, blah blah blah, from the graveyard, and if you do, you could be able to special summon target one monster your opponent controls. It's considered to be a Umber Horror monster and a level 4. So it's able to control a monster by banishing it. So there's that. For Will the Wisp, it could still potentially have its own effect where I didn't forget to mention its second effect, where if you control a level 4 or high, yeah, if you control any other Umber Horror monster, you could use its effect to target, if it's been normal or special summoned, that monster, and its level changes to that targeted monster's level. We could keep that, but it could also be like our only special summon monster from the hand if we control a face-up Umber Horror monster. For its second effect, it could also be like a more banishing type of effect, where we could use it to banish itself to destroy any card on the field that our opponent controls. And we do have to target it. As for Ghost, though, that might be difficult. Now, the issue is, it's during the standby phase, and furthermore, we can be able to special summon one level 4 or lower fiend monster, so that's always good, but we cannot conduct our normal phase, or our normal summon during the turn we activated this effect. That's the biggest downside. The upside is we could be able to special summon it and another monster for free, but we cannot special summon other or even normal summon monsters for the rest of the turn that we use its effect. So, what we could potentially do for it is, like, we could have a different type of cost down. Like, say, if there's, like, another Umber Horror monster that could be able to, like, revive itself by itself from the graveyard if we control another Umber Horror monster, like, Tynangle Intruder is a good example, because if we flip summon a monster, or if a Tynangle monster is flip summon, we have to special summon Tynangle Intruder right away. It's not optional. So every time if we normal summon a level 4 or higher Dark Fiend monster, what we could be able to do is special summon that monster right away. And it's a non-optional effect, sadly, though. But, however, it could also potentially be able to, like, say, once per turn, if this card is normal, special summoned by its effect, you can special summon one Dark Fiend monster from your deck for free. So there's that idea. As of boss monsters, probably more a corrupted version, or a more like higher level and evolved version of Umbra Horror. What's his face? Masquerade. Umbra Horror Masquerade. Or a far, or a second higher level of number 104, Umbra Horror Masquerade. Or maybe even a evolved form for another card called number 44 or number 66, Master Key Beetle. Now, that card is actually quite interesting. See, interesting because it has an effect of, you get to detach one material from this card, and target one card you control except itself, and as long as this card is faced upon the field, that card that you target cannot be destroyed. And you could send one card, and if it would be destroyed, you could send one card. No, wait. Oh yeah, so if Master Beetle would be destroyed, you could send its appropriated target from your field to the graveyard instead. Now, I heard of a, from another YouTuber, I actually heard of a quick combo, so the idea could be, if you have Safe Zone, and if you use its Key Beetle's effect to target Safe Zone, you have like a potentious infinite loop there, because Safe Zone cannot allow the target that it's equipped to be destroyed by battle or by card effects, and the same could be said with Master Key Beetle. However, what we could also try to do for the archetype, maybe, is to searching out the different rank up spell cards that the Baryon Force had. So, like, there's a rank up magic Baryon Force, quick play rank up magic Baryon Force, there's also rank up magic Astral Force, I believe. So, it could also potentially be its own searcher for the rank up magic cards too. So you could be able to like search for any other card that you may need, and potentially also like be more of a stun deck as well too. And one more deck I do really want to mention before I get off is the, I really actually do want to talk about like the, what's it called? The Nordic deck, actually, because honestly I do feel as if they done got dirt from their support. I mean, yeah, it kind of does help, but it really doesn't help that much, because their link one could still be negated, so it could be targeted for attacks, and its other monster does help, but it's only if you draw into it. So maybe have like potential monsters that are like, say, smaller servants, like smaller, lesser monsters that could be able, that are from like Norse mythology, that could help support the monsters in some way. Same goes for like the lesser monsters for the main deck too, that could be also able to special summon other Nordic monsters from your deck for free. Whereas like for the newer boss monsters, what we could potentially do is, what we could do is like make them less hard to summon, and like say level 6 to level 8 at least, right? Because they do have a level 4 tuner monster, and they do have quite a lot and a few level 5 to decent tuner monsters as well. They also have a level 5 tuner monster and another level 4 tuner monster. However, what I think that we could try to do is, like, there are other really interesting ideas for the Norse archetype that we could do. So, like, say for one of their other monsters, like their main deck monsters, we could say that it's like a lesser giant, like a lesser ice giant of the Nordic Icer. So it's like a level 4 effect monster and has an effect. If this card is normal or special summon, you could discard one card from your hand. If you do, special summon one Nordic 2 tuner monster and one level 4 or lower Nordic monster from your deck. If you do, this card counts as the represented material for a Icer extra deck monster. So that's really good, because you're getting those materials out to special summon for the level 10 monsters that you need, and it's able to special count itself for any of the required materials that you might need as well. Furthermore, what I feel as if we could also need for the Nordic archetype is spell searching. Because, to be fair, they do have a lot of good, interesting spells and traps. Like, one of them is basically a searcher for the entire archetype. Don't know why, it kind of is. So basically, we could probably substitute that for another monster, like a normal summon monster, to normal summon it, and you can have enough. And if it's not the one you want, basically what you could try to do is, it gives you like an option effect. Maybe you say, for example, if you add it to your hand, you could either special summon it right away or send it to the graveyard. Potentially that monster you send to the graveyard could also have like a summoning condition or a special summon effect if it's sent to the graveyard by a card effect. As for the extra deck monsters, one second, take a sip of the water. What? Sorry, folks. What we could also do is, maybe, what we could do is, because, take inspiration off of Ragnarok. So, there's already Jormungandr and the Wolf. So maybe we could also, instead of making them like the main deck monsters, we could make them as the extra deck monsters. Give them like better stats, interesting effects, and potentially even a way that you could special summon their counterpart from the... No, not, that's a terrible idea. What the hell am I saying? But it is going to be like a far better way of potentially getting your level 10 monsters out to the field right away, besides just like waiting to get the other monsters, right? So there's that. So, and lastly, there's like the fire giant, I remember. So he could potentially be like a level 10. And like, I remember hearing a story where there was like this giant king that was terrified by the presence and the strength and the skills that Loki, Thor, and I can't remember the other guy's name was able to do. So maybe he could be like an extra deck monster or like the main deck monster to special summon other Nordic monsters to search for their spells and traps or search for other Nordic monsters from your deck or potentially help get make it easier for you to get your high level monsters out on the field right away. So that's going to be it for this deck archetype talk about, but that's all I want to say, and really, I do like a lot of these decks' ideas, but we could try making them, hopefully Konami tries to make them a little bit better in the future. Probably not, but all I do know is this is mainly for fun and mainly just for ideas and spitballing, and I do promise I will change the subject next week. So if you wish to listen to this episode, there's another one I recently done last week. Listen to my other episodes I recently done. Help support the podcast through listening to each of the episodes to build the revenue. You can follow me on Twitter at SuperNerd163. You could also listen to me on other social media sites like Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Anchor, and Spotify. Once more, I would like to thank my listeners for listening into the podcast, and I would also like to thank my sponsor for today, Anchor. And remember, fellow do-gooders, geek is fleek. Have a nice night, and let's hope that the Super Bowl goes really well, too.